Well, just a total disaster by the Eagles. I mean, an unmitigated freaking disaster, and, you know, one they should be ashamed and embarrassed about. You know, bottom line is, there's no one bottom line. Howie did a horrible job assembling a defense, and it looks like a lot of his recent draft picks, including Nolan Smith, just aren't good enough. The Dotson trade was a fiasco. The Hurts contract, unfortunately, looks like a fiasco. Jalen is failing them. Nick is failing them. I mean, there's just a lot of issues. And look, we knew they were top heavy on the offense with some star players, and that if they faced injuries, that could be a real problem, and that has been a real problem. I'm not saying it's easy for Jalen Hurts out there yesterday with no Lane Johnson, no Devontae Smith, and no A.J. Brown, but I know this, he can't play as bad as he did. That's unacceptable. All right, let's talk about some of these injuries. There are some very notable ones. And we'll talk to, and most of these stem obviously from going into the game, but let's get a NovaCare rehabilitation injury report here with Dr. Mark Schwartz, an orthopedic surgeon with the Burlington County Orthopedic Specialist in Mount Laurel, and he joins us right now. Good morning, Dr. Schwartz.
Good morning. Yeah, I hate coming on after a loss.
We hate it also.
Make them win.
Exactly.
The only good thing that came out of that game was that blocked extra point allowed me to win my 33 pool.
Oh, good man.
$160.
Good man. Well, I got eliminated in my survivor pool yesterday. So, but then again, like half of America's eliminated. All right. So, Doc, let's get to a few things here. Let's just start with the heat as it relates to, you know, all sorts of stuff we saw out there. I mean, Reed Blankenship had an illness. Guys had to leave the game. Could they have prepared differently to handle the heat differently and be better equipped to play better football through it?
Well, you know, that's a tough question, but let's set the scenario. It was at game time, the outside temperature was about 91 degrees. The humidity was about 90%. So that is already setting the table for heat issues. The only good thing about playing down in Tampa was they have a grass field, and grass fields generally stay about anywhere from 10 to 30 degrees cooler than artificial turfs. So be thankful that it was a grass field. But the key to dealing with these heat illnesses is keeping up with fluid loss, hydration, staying cool, and hydration. And I'm not sure whether they were sitting near those cooling benches enough. Hydration is the key to avoiding some of these, quote, heat-related illnesses. But once the guy starts feeling it, they got to keep up with fluids, electrolytes, and staying cool.
Are there any lingering issues for the guys who ended up being severely dehydrated yesterday?
Well, the key is you don't want it to go. You don't want to go from heat illness per se to heat exhaustion to heat stroke. Heat stroke is a deadly, potentially deadly phenomenon. It's a continuum. So basically, the key is recognizing early symptoms: fatigue, muscle cramping, nausea, vomiting, severe headaches. So once you start seeing those signs, you got to get the player out of the heat. You got to get them hydrated with just a lot of electrolytes and fluids, and you got to cool them down. Ice baths, ice towels. It's a potentially devastating, potentially fatal illness. You hear about some sad case every year in August when schools start starting up.
Yeah, you mentioned. Talking about Lane Johnson, we know that he was supposed to be cleared prior to this game for his concussion, but was not. Does that mean that he's close, that he was almost cleared Saturday night before the game time, or is the concussion protocol nonlinear and frustrating like that?
Well, in the NFL, the average time to return to play after a concussion is about 9 to 10 days. Okay. That's the average. There's five phases that the players have to pass to be cleared by to return to play. And after they pass those five phases, they still have to be evaluated by an independent neurologic specialist. So he's probably somewhere around phase four or five. I would be totally shocked if he's not playing after a bye week. But there's no set number for any individual. Everybody's a little bit different. So each player's recovery from a concussion is kind of unique upon itself.
Yeah, and
so
of course...
He obviously didn't pass the final phase for return to play.
Yeah, and Devontae not reported to be as far along as Lane had been, approaching Sunday, which is unfortunate. Dr. Swartz, specializing in sports medicine, arthroscopic surgery, and the co-director of the Virtual Health Sports Medicine Program. For more information on Dr. Swartz, please go to BurlingtonCountyOrtho.com. That's BurlingtonCountyOrtho.com. This is the NovaCare Rehabilitation Injury Report. Doc, thanks so much, my man. Enjoy the bye week. Here's the good news. Eagles can't lose this upcoming Sunday. Thanks, Doc.
Go Phillies.
Yeah, you got it. That's the other good news. All right, let's go to Scott calling from Bethlehem. Scott, good morning.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. How are you today?
Yeah, we're frustrated, Scott. And I think a lot of people are just kind of realizing this is what we got. You know, it doesn't mean they can't find a way out of it. Teams have in the Eagles' past. Obviously, Chip's first year, they were 1-3. Ray's first year, they were 1-3, and an ugly 1-3. But more often than not, when you look like this, more often than not, you don't make the playoffs.
So I have three things. One is I think the NFL has done nothing. I think the schedule, it's horrible, the schedule that the Eagles have had to deal with, going down to Brazil, coming back home, going down to, in their first four games, going down to New Orleans, coming back home, going down to Tampa Bay in 100-degree heat or whatever. So I think that has been atrocious.
Well, let me just say this. Other than Brazil, it's all normal. I mean, playing in New Orleans is New Orleans.
Yeah, they did do Brazil. That's the thing. They did do.
No, I understand. But I'll tell you this, Scott. While I can't prove that they're struggling because of Brazil or disprove it, I just tend to think it's more about what they are. I mean, if you think Jalen Hurts yesterday looked the way he looked because, 24 days ago they played a game in Brazil, I just don't buy that.
I just think it's all cumulative. All the plane flights they've had to done the first four games. But anyway, my second point is this offense reminds me so much of Sirianni's first year when he was forcing the pass until he figured it out towards the second half of the season.
I agree.
Oh, we're a run dominant team. And this is the same thing. I've seen no offensive brilliance from this coordinator that he needs to realize. I mean, three touches. He had three runs in the first half. I understand that we were three and out, whatever, but three times our best player on offense touched the ball and running, all right, until the second half where he got a little more, but still 12 times.
You know, and then in the second half when he touches the ball, he breaks it for 65 yards. And then how many times did he get the ball handed to him after that?
Yeah,
one.
I agree. The coordinator
one time.
What the identity of this offense is.
Well, I agree, Scott. I agree with your basic premise. I mean, let me put it this way. When AJ and Devontae's in there, it makes a lot of sense to throw the ball a lot. When AJ and Devontae are not in there, you should be the 72 Dolphins. I'm serious. I don't mean record wise. I mean just run the ball.
Yeah,
I mean it's just not that complicated. Particularly when you know Dotson stinks. The guy stinks.
Yeah,
the guy stinks. And Scott, good call. So let me ask this question again. I said this question on Friday. I'm just going to pose it again. When AJ and Devontae are out, James, I'm going to you first. Who are their two best wide receivers when AJ, Devontae, and I'll even say Covey are out? Who are they?
Apparently Paris Campbell and whatever defensive back gets the most interceptions.
Wow.
All right, Rhea, who are their two best wide receivers?
They don't have any.
Well, when the others are out, someone give me a real answer. Who are they?
I mean, Paris Campbell and I don't know. I mean, Paris
John
Campbell,
Dotson
how crazy
and Paris
is that?
Paris Campbell are the two best.
Who, John?
John Dotson, sure, I guess.
I don't know,
Paris
maybe.
Campbell are the two best, and then there's John Ross. And there's Johnny Wilson.
John Ross, who didn't have a job, a week
John
ago.
Ross,
Johnny
who's
Wilson
wearing number
can't
38.
Yeah, by the way, I got to tell you something. Minor point in a game where we have a lot of aggravation in the season. I think the NFL messed up big time changing all these numbers. I can't figure out anyone's position. I got guys on defense with zero. I mean, what is this? But anyway.
Oh, man. Tell you what, I'd rather watch Goodfellas for 2 hours than an Eagles game for 3 hours. That was one of those games where, look, I don't do it. But I'm sure some did. You're kind of tempted to turn the TV off in the first quarter. I mean, you say to yourself, what's the point?
Like, what is the point? All right, let me just get a couple things off my chest here. And good morning to everyone just joining us, if you're just waking up and listening to us. And special hello to those in the shower right now.
Really?
I always love when people listen to us in the shower. The Odyssey app. Oh, by the way, with the Odyssey app, if you miss certain things with our show, make sure you go back later today and listen to them. Like, for instance, if you're driving to work right now or in the shower right now, but won't be able to listen to Seth Joyner from 9 to 10 today, and you know Seth's going to be spitting fire from 9 to 10 today, later today when you get a chance, at noon, 2 o'clock, 4 o'clock, 8 o'clock, whatever time, go back and listen to the Odyssey app to hear that hour with Seth. Ray Dittinger, 7:55, stuff like that. That's the way our week is always set up. And you can always get this, you know, what we hope is what you consider good content.
I will enjoy the Ray pauses today. Oh, when you ask a question, there'll be, well, Jim.
Well, I'll tell you what, he may not need to pause as much because some of these answers might be quite simple.
Who's in the shower right now? Is there like someone out there you're reaching out to through the
I would say there's at least 5,000 people, at least 5,000 people listening to us right now while
in the shower.
In the shower? 100%.
Wow,
dude, you shower and you listen to WFP.
I never thought about that.
Hey, you wake
reality.
Up, Odyssey, yeah, bang! All right, all jokes aside, let's get down to the business.
I do every morning in the shower.
You're an example. Yeah. Guys, here's what we've got. In whichever order you want to put them, but it's true on all three fronts. A head coach problem, a quarterback problem, a defense problem. Now, I tend to think the defense is the worst of those three as it relates to right now. But I do believe that the quarterback is the most consequential of those three because he's the quarterback and because of the nature of his contract. Look, I just don't think Hurts is good. And I can't imagine that the dramatic pushback will be as dramatic moving forward. Look, unless he starts playing better, which he's theoretically capable of. But at a certain point, you just say to yourself, what we got is what we got.
Unless he starts playing better. So you think that's who he is, what we saw yesterday? I do not think that's who he is.
Well, he can be a little better than this, but I'll tell you this.
He can be a little better than this.
Well, no, okay.
How far you think he's fallen.
Disastrous. Let me frame it more accurately. He can be a lot better than that. I don't expect that he consistently will. He is an inconsistent player who struggled. Let me tell you exactly what I wrote down after the game. Here's what I wrote, and I'm going to get later in this hour too. I thought a really interesting text from a buddy on Hurts. But here's what I wrote after the game. Hurts does not process fast enough. Was more inaccurate today than normal. He was. His height is an issue. You see that on the screen passes. Like, the screen passes shouldn't be a disaster. But I think he struggles to see over some of those edge rushers sometimes.
Well, how tall is Baker?
Not very tall, but, you know, some guys overcome it, some guys don't. Does not, you know, I have long supported that you can win with Hurts' arm. But you do see a tale of two dudes. Like, Baker Mayfield's firing fastballs in a tight coverage yesterday. Hurts doesn't. So you got that reality. Poor pocket presence.
He's firing the ball. I mean, Baker Mayfield was throwing the football time, early, and often.
I know, but Baker's
Jalen
throwing,
was not.
No, well, Baker's throwing fastballs that Hurts doesn't have in his bag. He just doesn't. Poor pocket presence, careless with the football, and here's what I put a star next to. Just not a good NFL starting quarterback. And here's the next one I
he
put
wasn't
a,
yesterday.
And here's the next one I put a star
it
to.
It's a shame that you damn him permanently.
John, let me just be clear, because you're starting to, like, I'm not, quote, damning him permanently. I'm telling you he's not
you're
good enough.
He's not going to be the quarterback of this team.
And
he's
unlikely.
That's damning him permanently.
No, it's not. It's saying he's not worth being the guy long-term here unless he gets his freaking act together fast. And I don't expect that he will. That's what I'm saying.
I expect.
If you want to die on the Jalen Hurts cell, go for it. But you're going to die.
He's this bad moving forward. If he's properly coached,
yes, he can.
And if he applies himself, there's no way that
John. But you got to understand this reality. It's also for $250 million. That's the other thing. Like he doesn't have to be just a little better than this. He has to be
He has to be a lot better to justify. The number two quarterback, the number two player in the world, like we thought he was in 2022.
No, he doesn't.
For $250 million, that is what I expect. A Super Bowl-worthy quarterback.
Well, he doesn't have to be that, but he has to be a lot better than this. Let me get to the head coach. So first of all, I think he's the least of the big three problems. I know a lot of people think he's the biggest problem. I think he's the least of the three because I think Howie handed him a garbage defense like last year and a quarterback who's just falling apart, okay? But let me just say this about the coach. horrible with, and this goes to Kellen Moore also, but I'm going to put Sirianni in there because apparently he can override the play calls. Run the ball earlier and not just with Saquon. You don't have your wide receivers, okay? You don't have them. You got a quarterback struggling. You have three different, I think, competent running backs, one of whom's a star, two of whom, like, it's not like you got some bum as a backup running back. Like, these guys can run it a little bit. Give them the rock and become a running team to try to help your struggling quarterback early in the game. That's number one. Number two, let me go to the end of the game. After the game, actually. This is a minor matter. I don't know how many noticed it. I did. Can the head coach, after he gets his ass kicked, not chew gum in a press conference?
He looked like he was. Looked like he'd just been rescued from a desert island, and that was the first food he'd eaten or tasted in a month.
I mean, like, I'll just give you a quick analogy. I interviewed someone one time for a job years ago working elsewhere. Guy walks in for a job. He's got total golf attire on. He's in the golf shirt. He's got a cap on, like he's about to go golf or just came from golf. Sits down in front of me. Nice enough guy. But didn't wow me to any point where he overcame the ridiculous attire that he showed up for an interview with. I mean, I knew within 3 seconds of sitting down with this guy would have to shock me for me to hire him. Because he showed up to an interview looking like he was about to go play golf. Nick Sirianni got his ass kicked and is chewing gum. Like, it's not the biggest deal, but I'll tell you this, it's part of why when he gets fired, and he eventually will get fired, and it could be as soon as the end of this year, some people want it to be sooner. It's part of why I don't think he gets the next head coaching job and may never get it.
Why would he get another coaching job?
Because
after
other
this.
Owners see this stuff and they're like, why is he chewing gum in a press conference? And then the defense is just a fiasco. And Howie's got a lot. Look, Howie's a great GM. I'm not backing off that. This isn't like in 2020 when I made the mistake at the end of 2020 saying the Eagles should fire Howie. And of all the things I've said in my career, that's one of the ones I chalk up as one of my biggest L's.
Is he covering himself in glory this season?
No, he's not. But, like, I feel shame. Honestly, I mean this. I feel shame that after 2020 I said throw out Howie. That was a bad job by me. It's not that now, and it won't be at the end of this year, but he's got to get better again. And I know general managers have their ups and downs. We all understand that. You don't go 20 for 20 season-wise. You're going to have your downs. But, I mean, this is a disaster from Bryce Huff to Jordan Davis, who's not consistently good enough, to Nolan Smith, Jahan Dotson. You know, like, how about this one? Retaining Sirianni. Now, that's Howie / Lori, you know, I think with Lori ultimately having the call. By the way, we have two different Twitter poll questions of the day today that you can weigh in on, both brought to us by Armin Chevrolet. Proud to, again, be PA's number one Chevrolet EV dealer. Now in stock, the Equinox, Blazer, and Silverado EVs. Together, let's drive, ArminChevy.com. First poll question, which is the biggest issue with the Eagles? Is it A, the defense, B, Jalen Hurts, or C, Nick Sirianni? Second poll question, do you think the Eagles should fire Sirianni during the bye week, yes or no? I would not fire him. I would have back in January. They chose to keep him. I would not fire him now, but I know a lot of people say yes. We'll see where the results go. Let's go to the phones. Bad of the Bone Award shortly. Ray Dittinger in about 20 minutes.
You know, the next four games are against teams that are really wounded and struggling mm-hmm. right now. And I know that can change in a hurry, sure. You know, week to week mm-hmm. in the NFL. But it really does feel like coming out of this bye, we don't necessarily have to be improved to win these games.
Yeah, like, but that's not the standard.
I'm worried about that. I'm worried about the fact that 2-2, we could get to 6-2 and look better on paper than what we are. Just like we got to 10-1 last year, and it looked great. And now that everyone within that organization goes back and leans into that and justifies our coach being here by using that 10-1. I don't like that feeling anymore. Let's not prop anyone up based on a false sense of security.
James, percentage chance Sirianni gets fired today or tomorrow? Because if they're going to fire him, it's today or tomorrow. Percentage chance it happens?
Like 5%.
Rhea, would you do it? Would you fire him today?
No.
And what's your reason?
My reason is I don't think he's at fault. He's not. He has nothing to do with the defense. That's on Vic Fangio. That disgrace that happened out there yesterday, That's Fangio.
Well, I think it's Howie. I'll be clear on that. I think Fangio's got bad
Fangio
players.
Fangio doesn't talk to any, but you don't think Fangio picked a lot of those players?
He may have. If he did, then that swings back to
him. Fangio,
look, we don't know who really said, hey, let's go Bryce Hoff. Is that Vic Fangio?
Don't you know?
But I do know this. Howie's the one that gives him the contract. Like, Fangio can make the recommendation, but at the end of the day, that's how he's asked on the line, because at the end of the day, he's in charge of that.
Guys, this is a team that has been practicing for 45 minutes for walking through for 45 minutes with baseball caps on instead of playing football with cleats and hitting each
other. But that's not the main issue,
that
John.
That is a problem,
but,
though. You want to know why we look so listless and scared and soft and fearful? Because we were exhausted in the first quarter.
But, look, I'm not saying the exhaustion wasn't a factor yesterday. I don't know that it goes back to August and training camp. I don't know that. It may not. I know this. Bryce Hoff stinks.
Yeah.
Jahan Dotson stinks. Nolan Smith stinks.
N'Kobe Dean?
N'Kobe Dean doesn't stink, but he's overmatched right now.
Yeah, a little bit.
He's overmatched.
He's one of the worst players on the field.
He's overmatched. And Devin White's got to get cut.
He probably looked good the week before. N'Kobe Dean looked good the week before. I'm not going to say he's bad.
No, I'm not saying he stinks, but I'll say he's had a couple.
The whole team was exhausted.
And Reed Blankenship shouldn't be a starter. Shouldn't be a starter. I mean, just should not be a starter.
I like some of the things that Reed does. There are some things he's great at.
I think the only thing he's great at normally is tackling. He was not yesterday.
He's a sound tackler.
He's a good tackle. Typically, he was not yesterday.
Right.
All right. And by the way, CJGJ, obviously teams are getting him one-on-one with wide receivers, and he's getting torched.
Yeah.
He's getting torched. That's a problem. I mean, offensive coordinators are seeing that. They're going to scheme that more and more. That's a fiasco. Yeah. And by the way, they got to put him out there. I mean, we can talk about benching N'Kobe maybe, benching Reed Blankenship maybe. They're not going to bench CJGJ. Some guys got to play. And right now, the Eagles got a hell of a problem. All right, Blame Ball's coming up shortly. Chuck in Mount Airy right now. Ray Dittinger in 15 minutes. Good morning, Chuck.
Hey, yeah, listen, good morning. Listen, one thing I'll never do is I'll never listen to Elliott Shore Parts again and believe those stats at training camp, okay?
Well, it was true for what it's worth. You got to decipher how much it matters, but it was true that he hadn't thrown an interception till the very end.
You want to let me talk, Joe?
Go for it.
This team is not good enough.
Correct.
Simple as that. Jalen Hurts is a used baby wipe. I hate to tell you that. He's trash, okay? And the fact of the matter is, for him to be getting $250 million, it's ridiculous, okay? And then you talk about Vic Fangio. He walks around here like he's the godfather, okay? His defense stinks. And that's the mindset that we have here. Howie Roseman is the problem. He's the common denominator, okay? Everybody loves Howie Roseman, but he ruined this team, man, even with his mindset of what a defense is supposed to look like. You know what I mean? You pick Jordan Davis over a guy. I watched play yesterday, Kyle Hamilton, who's a stud. You know what I mean? Things like that just ruins this team. And he gets no blame for it. Every year,
it's increasing. The blame's increasing, as it should.
Well, what I'm saying, Joe, is this. You know, it's increasing, yes, but people seem to forget the things that he does to ruin this team. Keeping Nick Sirianni for one extra year when you knew you should have gotten rid of him. He does nothing in here. You know what I'm saying? You bring an offensive coordinator here. I know who knows how to call plays, but he can only do so much with this quarterback. And I know we have injuries. I know that. But the fact of the matter is, what happened to uplifting your players, making your players better around you? He's going to pay $250 million, and we scored 16 points in the last 2 weeks, and 2 points came from special teams. We only really scored 14 points. Like, this is ridiculous.
I know.
This was supposed to be sold, and we were supposed to be one of the best offenses in the league coming into this year. And we don't do anything right. Nothing right, man. And like I said, Vic Fangio's defense, you know, you'd rather just get killed, go all the way down the field, opposed to just, you know, I'd rather just come to big play. That way I'd get my offense, the people I gave the money to, back on the field to be able to be productive. But you're not even doing that. And they bring this guy in here like he's the next coming to Bill Belichick. He's just defense stinks. Vic Fangio's defense stinks.
Look, Chuck, I agree with a lot of what... Hold on, Chuck, hang on. Chuck, do me a favor. Hang on one second. I agree with a lot of what you're saying, but I'm telling you, I think the personnel on defense is worse than Fangio. Like, I added it up yesterday. I think they've got four guys that deserve to start defensively. Four. That's hard to win with, man.
Yo, I'm sick of it. Listen, I'm sick of it, man. We need a more aggressive style defense, man. There's no way we can just sit back.
Okay, but I'm telling you, Chuck, they need players.
They need players. In 2017, they had Malcolm. They had Rodney. They had Jordan Hicks till he got hurt. They had Bradham playing great. They had
Rodney
Fletcher
McLeod
Cox.
Rodney McLeod made a nice play yesterday.
Ray's still playing. They had Fletcher Cox. They had Chris Long off the bench. They had Brandon Graham in his prime. You know, I mean, they had play. I mean, they had Patrick Robinson. Like, they had players. Now my list of guys that truly deserve to start in the NFL, truly deserve to start. Jalen Carter, the two starting cornerbacks, Darius Slay and Quinyon Mitchell, and CJ GJ. That's it. No, Josh Sweat is not an NFL starter. I know he got a sack yesterday, did his little sweat thing. Okay, it was first sack in like 12 games. Think about that. It was his first sack in like 12 games. You can't tell me that guy deserves to start. That's ridiculous.
Zach Bond has been pretty good.
I got to see more to know for sure. I lean no, but we'll see.
Zach Bond has been all over the place a lot, but it's been up and down.
That's my point.
Wow.
It's up and down. It's very, 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 very up and down. All right,
I do chalk a lot of yesterday up to those guys were out there for far too long, too early.
But you know what,
they
John?
They just couldn't hold up.
But I'll say this.
Physically.
Even when they hadn't been out there that long, the first drive,
it was
the
weak.
Second
it was
drive.
Weak. It just weak.
You know?
Sheerly, yes, they were unprepared.
Come on.
They were ill-prepared. Like, you cannot find an aspect of this team that you don't blame for that performance. It's the players. It's the coaches.
It's so
everything.
Bad. It's so demoralizing. All right, let's do what we do, blame balls with the Bad of the Bone Award. So frustrated. Because I'm so convinced what we see is what we've got. Look, if you think they're going to turn it around, God bless you. Maybe they do. I just don't think they're a very good team. Now, if Washington doesn't run away with it, then I guess this division's up for grabs for a while. And obviously, with the third wild card, you can sneak into the playoffs at 9-8 like the Eagles did 3 years ago. But come on, guys. This is not a good football team. All right, Bad of the Bone Award, our version of blame balls. When they lose, we assess and we blame. John Ritchie, who are you giving a blame ball to?
Jalen Hurts. Jalen is not anywhere close to where I hoped he'd be after a month of the season. And at this point, it feels like Kellen Moore has stripped him of the things that made him the most dangerous, his legs, and he hasn't made up the difference with the passing game. I don't know how much of that was because AJ and Devontae were out yesterday. I'm not sure on that. I do know Jalen looked bad against the blitz after looking better earlier this season, and that's disheartening. I know that he accounted for 178 total yards yesterday. 178 total yards. And only 20 of those were on the ground. I think he can do better on that front, just given the opportunity. 158 yards through the air is just pathetic production. Our offense was embarrassing, and Jalen led it. So that's six games in a row now without scoring in the first quarter. Seven games in a row unprepared. The question is this who Jalen is? I don't believe that's the case. And moving forward, I don't believe this damage is permanent. I just don't know how. I don't know how much better he's going to be in a hurry.
Yeah,
I don't know how long this is going to take to fix
it. Look, I don't think he'll be the quarterback here in 2 years, and he may not be the quarterback next year. Seltzer, blame ball to who?
I'll take the other gimme, Nick Sirianni. I mean, for that team to show up, look, the defense was bad, but that team showed up with no effort, no life, in a spot where the last time you were there, you lost 32-9 in one of the most embarrassing playoff performances we've ever seen from a Philadelphia sports team, and you can't get your team ready to go down there and play those guys again? You come in and give us that? You're down 14-0 like that? Embarrassing. They didn't look together. They didn't look ready to play. There's no cohesion. There's no nothing. Like, and Kellen Moore had a bad game, but you know what? Nick's the head coach. Like, just a disastrous performance.
Who we learned last week has the authority to override
absolutely.
The offensive coordinator
in place.
Just
a disastrous day for Nick.
And by the way, how much does the team want to hear from him after games? What is the bottom line? What is the verdict on that? Like, I get it with the whole team only thing, like the players only, let's get together and rally. But do they want to hear from their head coach? Do they respect their head coach?
All right, Rhea, blame ball to who?
Kellen Moore. To me, you know, the fact that Saquon only had 12 touches and 10 possessions, two carries on the Eagles' first drive, finished with 84 yards rushing, what do you have, 32 yards receiving? It's inexcusable. you hand it to him for the first play of the second half, boom, he's gone for 59 yards. That game was not out of hand even at 14-0 because it was only the first quarter.
Yep.
Number one, you stop throwing on first down every first down. And I know people said, well, he went to Saquon on the first play of the game. It was a broken play. Now, he overthrew him.
That's right. But, sure did.
But, you know, I mean, I'm sorry. That is your one star that you had left on the team yesterday. That was it.
Look, I feel like I got a pretty juicy one left. I don't normally have a pretty juicy one left by the time I go here fourth with the Bat of the Bone Award, but I think Howie absolutely deserves a blame ball. The defense stinks personnel-wise. The head coach was retained when I didn't think he should be, and 71% of people in our poll didn't think he should be after the season ended last year. Now, is that ultimately Lurie's call? Yes, I think so. If Howie goes strong and says to Jeff, all right, let's can Nick, does Jeff keep him? I don't know. I really don't know. How can any of us know? I just know Howie's involved in the decision. The decision was made to retain Nick Sirianni, who, to be clear, I would not fire today, and I think he's actually the least of the major problems. I'm not saying he's not a major problem. He's a major problem, but I am convinced the defense is a bigger problem, and I am ultra convinced Jalen Hurts is the biggest problem because of the nature of that position, what it represents in pro football, and the nature of his contract and what that represents in a salary cap era. Okay, they're going to have a salary cap dead hit in a year or two that's going to be massive, okay, massive, and we're just going to have to eat it as a fan base. But I just look at Howie and some of the decisions, particularly recent drafts, the Georgia guys, the Jahan Dotson trade, and I just say, like, that's a game I can just circle right back to Howie and say they lost this game largely because of him. Let's go to the phones. Derek and Paoli right now. Ray Dittinger will join us in 10 minutes. Good morning, Derek. Derek is not ready to rock. Let's talk to Ed. He's calling from Phoenixville. Hi, Ed.
Yo, John, Rhea, team.
Hi, Ed.
It's one of those – sorry, hi, John. One of those games where – and I'm trying not to curse on the radio.
I understand.
Where you just – I have a laundry list of questions, some of which have already been addressed, but I think Chuck from Mount Airy kind of touched on one of them where – it was the first two or three drives where they kept on sitting back in that cover four shell, and every now and then they rolled Slay up on the receiver, so it was more of like a cover six look. But the two things that you need for those coverages to work are linebackers that can cover the flats, and we don't have those. So my question is, like, was he in those coverages because he was just so deathly afraid of getting beat deep, or didn't have confidence that our back cornerbacks could cover for as long as it takes for our
And I think the second point is the point. So I know people are blasting Fangio for the corners being back, but the reality is that's a defense normally predicated on the front four getting there quick. These guys don't. So I can understand why you'd be off wide receivers because you do have to defend for a long time.
But he was getting it, Joe. He's getting it out in 2.2 seconds. So there really isn't enough time for the pass rush to get
home. Could have adjusted.
But if they just simply tackled the guys, he wasn't throwing it deep. If they make the tackles,
I agree.
Those guys, maybe if they're up a little closer, maybe they're not able to do that.
Maybe.
He got sacked seven times the week before. He got sacked five times the week before that.
But, John, this is the Eagles. They just don't get there. I mean, Brandon Graham got there one play because obviously he figured it out. That was a figure it out play. The quarterback's keeping the ball.
He was unblocked.
Yeah,
it was a bootleg.
Right.
He was the backside defensive end.
Right.
Left unblocked.
Yeah, but my point is he didn't go where everyone else goes because they think it might be a running play. Like, BG, you know, sniffed that out. And okay, great play. Good job. But other than that, like, I'm just going to, you know, my man's going to beat your man. There was none of that. You know, I guess sweated a sack also. But look, Ed, it's just not good, man. And what we've got, in my opinion, is like what we've got. I know they've come out of these holes before. I know. We've seen it. We have seen the Eagles come out of holes. I just will be really surprised if they do because it's hard when your quarterback's not very good and your defense isn't very good. I mean, that's a hard combination to come out of. By the way, Thursday...
they do have a bye, and they're about to get a lot healthier to major players.
Well, that's why they can still make the playoffs. Like, they can make it 9-8, maybe 10-7. AJ comes back, Devontae comes back, Lane comes back. It's not impossible... you know, three teams make it as wild cards. Like, but that's not
and
the standard.
And they can also see that, their young quarterback start to click with these other receivers as the point guard
it.
Out there in a new
it.
Offense that he said was 95% fresh to him this offseason. It is possible that the coaches and Jalen over this bye week as they dig in and self-evaluate.
Not going to happen.
That he gets better. He needs to. We know he needs to.
Yeah.
We know it doesn't feel like he can get much worse than what we just saw.
Thursday, we are going to be at Chickies and Pete's in South Philadelphia. Obviously, tons of Eagles coverage this week. We're all in a bad Eagles mood, but we're in a good Phillies mood. You know, the Phillies are going to start the playoffs Saturday, game one, obviously here on WIP, but also at Citizens Bank Park, game one Saturday. Now, we don't know the time of that game yet. What we do know is Thursday, we're going to have a big old show with not only a lot of Eagles coverage, but also a lot of Phillies coverage, celebrating the return of Red October. Third year in a row. Red October, which is pretty damn cool. We're going to have a show where you can be there at South Philadelphia's Chickies and Pete's, 1526 Packer Avenue. We're going to have Phillies guests through the day because it's not just our show, but Joe and Hugh, and then also Spike and Ike and Jack from 2 to 6, so 12 hours of coverage. Also on our show, a special announcement at 8:40. Special announcement, 8:40 that day. So be there if you can. If you can, obviously listen. It should be quite a day. Let's go to Tom. He's calling from Abington. Yo, Tom.
Yo, gang. What a mess.
Yep.
What a friggin' mess that was yesterday.
Yep.
You know, listen, Jalen does not seem to be our franchise quarterback. Can't wait to hear OG call up all day and defend him. The defense is not good enough. Vic Fangio apparently isn't good enough. But I'm taking it to the top, guys. You know where I'm going with this. And Halfrey's going to stay put. That's the very top. So let's go to Nish Chirioni. How do you not have this team ready to play yesterday? How do you not score 1 point in the fourth or in the first quarter the entire season? How do you have guys cramping up down there? Like, you're supposed to get these guys ready to go into battle, Nick.
I hear you, Tom. I mean, I
failed at that.
I thought you had more going, and then you just had a dead stop. Look, I hear
I'm
you, Tom.
So
there was a point. There was a point yesterday. They were out gained by over 250 yards before they had a yard.
It was 254.
254-0 when the score was 24-0. The yardage was 254-0.
Let me ask you something. Where do you think this team would be if we had, say, Bill Belichick coaching us?
Well, he's going to be in the division next year. He's either going to be coaching the Eagles, the Giants, or the Cowboys. I think they'd be a better team.
So you better go make a move and get him.
Yeah,
now's a nice time. It's nice and early.
Yeah, I tend to think he wouldn't come in the middle of a season. That's the only thing for which I would fire Sirianni today.
Whenever you hear these guys talk about Nick Sirianni, they all love him. They love him. My question is, does anybody in that building respect him? Anybody?
It's a good question.
Because I don't think
that's
so. And
the difference.
Like, the way you show up to a game like that yesterday in that condition and put that slop out on the field.
Mm-hmm. And, Tom, I know it's a minor matter, but do we really need the head coach chewing gum in a press conference after he gets his doors blown out?
Everything about this guy is wrong. Get rid of him.
You know, the crazy thing, and Tom, appreciate the call.
It's
good call.
It's not crazy.
The crazy thing is Sirianni is the least of the main problems.
I don't know, man.
The defense and Hurts are bigger problems.
It would make us better if we, cut bait right now, don't you think? If we streamlined and cut Nick right now.
Not really.
Over this bye, send a message to everyone in that building. Guys. Mean business.
But it doesn't solve Hurts, and it doesn't solve the defense.
I feel like it never works in the NFL, too. Like
the
in
Raiders
baseball,
a couple years ago.
Yeah, Antonio Pierce a little bit. But like
hockey,
it works. Baseball, it works. I feel like you don't see it work in football very often.
No, you don't. And you don't see teams do it. Listen, the Eagles basically don't do it. I mean, Chip doesn't count when they fired him with one game to go. That's not firing a guy in the season. Okay, that was just because Lurie wanted to make a point to Chip and say, all right, you bleep, get out. That was that. Marion Campbell, I think, was let go with one game to go.
I love the idea.
You know.
Send a strong message.
But I just don't think I don't think
it's too disruptive at this point of the season. Too early, like you haven't seen enough to where you now like are uncertain as to whether Nick is the right coach for this team.
Here's my main point.
I don't believe he's the right coach for this team, and that's not going to change as the season progresses, even when we play better, because we will play better over the next four games.
They'll play better at times, but I don't think they'll play better consistently enough to make this a good season. And by the way, going 9-8 and being the third wild card team and getting your doors blown out again in a playoff game. I mean, really. James, what would the point spread be next Sunday? And I mean this. I want you to really think about this for a second. If the Eagles and Tampa Bay Buccaneers played a game in Tampa Bay next Sunday, what would the point spread be?
It wouldn't be as high as it should be.
Should it be?
I mean, after that, I mean, I would make it like a touchdown or something. And
make it like 9.
Yeah, it'd probably be like 3.5 or 4 or something like that.
You know, I had a friend text me. I don't know if this was during the game or after, but it was right around that point, either late in the game or right after. And he said something about Hurts that I thought made a lot of sense and was more concise than I ever say it. So I just want to read this text briefly. By the way, Ray Dittinger coming up really soon here. Here's what my buddy texted me yesterday afternoon. He said the most essential problem with Hurts is that he cannot effectively read coverage and run through his progression of receivers. This leads to all bad results. Holding the ball too long, leaving the pocket when unnecessary, rolling backwards and having to make much longer throws on even basic patterns, and also turning the ball over. The Eagles have a quarterback problem and a related salary cap problem. I agree with him 1,000,000%. By the way, you know who also agrees? I mean, maybe not to that same extent, but Jaws was extremely... James, let's play this audio of Jaws. Very critical post-game on NBC Sports Philadelphia. I thought Jaws made a lot of sense. Big assist from Ruben Frank, who also jumped in on this. This is TV coverage yesterday, NBC Sports Philly. Shortly after the game, here's what Jaws said.
Tom Brady, who's we could argue is not or is the greatest of all time, you know, I think he is. He said it probably 5 times during that telecast.
Hey.
There's no sense of urgency from Jalen in the pocket. That's the essence of playing the quarterback position. If the coaches are so great that every single play, they can call a play to get A.J. open or get Devontae open or get Dallas open, then you know, he'll be great because that's the number one read. They get open, you complete it. But when he has to go 1, 2, 3, 4, goes his progression. You don't have time to do. He doesn't do it quick enough, Jaws, to get the ball out of his hand.
You've talked about that mental clock in a quarterback's head. That's got to be, you know, when you get to 2, the ball's got to
be out. You can't stand there just standing the field.
Either he doesn't have that clock or it's just not ticking right.
Look, it's a major problem.
He needs to get better. He needs to get better.
Well, that's clear.
Of course he needs to get better.
Are you losing hope that he will?
No. I believe.
Why?
Because I see quarterbacks every year in every place I look getting better with experience. That's what happens when you play this position.
It does. Look, Geno Smith and Baker Mayfield are examples. But my point is,
look at Aaron Rodgers yesterday. His team scored how many points?
9.
How well did he? How good did he look? How explosive was his offense? Now, he's got all sorts of problems too. And he's got all the experience in the world. And he struggles to get through those progressions. The guy is smart as all get out. He can read like lightning. But sometimes defenses mess with you. That's what happened yesterday to some degree. They did a good job. Todd Bowles, once again, defeated our coaches in addition to the fact that our quarterback wasn't good enough.
Well, you know what I thought? You know what I thought was, I'll almost call it disrespectful by Bowles to Hurts. And I don't know if I've ever seen this before. Fourth quarter, 3rd and 27, he blitzed.
It was unbelievable.
That is when a coordinator and slash head coach for their team knows that Hurts just can't do. Like, that is almost, that's like,
I was shocked.
That's like slapping a guy in the face.
It really was.
Like, you are so inept at dealing with this. I'm going to blitz you at 3rd and 27, even though that in theory should give you a better chance to convert 3rd and 27.
You're blitzing him. You blitzed the offense. That was,
you know
that
what,
was
John,
a problem
I,
with everyone.
Can I
That's
tell you
a problem
what?
With the running back.
Hurts is the one constant.
Bouncing off
he's the one
linebacker
one
who's
constant.
Dogging.
Yeah,
he's
didn't we say we weren't
going to
blame the coaching for this anymore?
Correct,
I think we
yes.
went through this. We're like, no, Jalen's calling out the protections. He's doing it all. Like, enough with the coaching has to set.
Yeah.
Like, enough.
What about
enough
the back
of it?
That just bounced off the linebacker, guys? There's that, too.
Wow. All right, let's talk
about watch that.
I want to talk to the Diddy in a second, but before we do, I just want to give you a tale of two teams. Let's start with the Phillies yesterday. They got an exciting win at the end, and this win helps them. Will have home field advantage in the World Series if they face the Yankees.
Or the anybody,
Anyone, yep. Okay, so this was a good thing. Phillies winning the game yesterday.
Here's the pitch. Swung on, hit in the air, left field, pretty deep. Clemens back at the track, at the wall. He jumps! He caught it! He bangs into the fence! He holds on! And the Phillies win the regular season finale on a wall-crashing catch by Cody Clemens. Oh, what a way to end it. Phillies win it 6-3.
Look, here's my point.
Phillies, we're going to need you.
Big time.
We're going to really
need you. No pressure.
Phillies, Zach Wheeler, we're going to need you. Bryce Harper, we're going to need you. JT, look, Boehm, in the four hole, we're going to need you.
Or Castellanos.
Castellanos, maybe. Like, someone be the four hole hitter and help Bryce. Trey, get that hamstring ready to sprint for doubles and triples. Ranger, figure something out, because you're gonna get a start.
I'm worried about
him. We're all worried about him now. Man. So, all right, Phils, we're going to need you. And here's why. Because tale of two teams, that's how the Phillies game ended. Let's listen to how the Eagles game ended.
They made too many mistakes, time and time again. This team needs the bye.
The Tampa goes into their victory formation, and it is indeed a victory for the Tampa Bay Bucks.
That will do it, as the Bucks beat the Eagles 33-16.